If I bleed tonight, if I am sad tonight, I don't have a job to find. And if I work tonight, if I'm so tired tonight, I'll fall asleep when I'm home. When I'm home. Hey everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Power Slam podcast, episode number 59. We are back after a week off when Finn got a chance to go on holiday and take a break from the day-to-day of wrestling and what it does to you. But you're back now, Finn. How are you?
I'm back, Kenny. I returned yesterday, so I watched Raw last night. That was Friday night, and I watched SmackDown this morning. So I think I'm back up today, or sort of, but if my words don't flow as eloquently as usual, you'll have to forgive me because I might still have a little bit of on holiday brain.
Well, yeah, I can fully understand why that would be. I mean, to be honest, this week's Raw and last week's Raw were kind of the same show in a lot of ways, so there's not really much point in covering last week's one. But SmackDown, we did have some fun stuff with the return of Team Hell No, which we'll get to. But how was your holiday? Did you have fun? Did you enjoy yourself? Did you gallivant around?
That's right, yeah. I went to Anglesey, went to a place called Beaumaris. Hopefully I pronounced that correctly. So it was very nice. I mean, the weather's been amazing. Weather's been amazing for everyone in the UK, I believe. So yeah, it was really good. We went up, well, I did all sorts of things, Kenny, that listeners probably wouldn't be interested in. I think probably the most interesting story, apart from going up Snowdon on the train, of course, mm-hmm. I was too lazy to walk up. You can't walk up a mountain in this heat, but you should have seen the number of people who were. It was incredible. On the last day we were there, I went and bought an ice cream, really nice hazelnut swirl ice cream from the best ice cream shop in town. And the woman behind the counter said something to me. I didn't really listen to her. And I'm walking along the beach and I felt this like, something swooped past my ear, and I kid you not, a seagull swooped in and stole my ice cream. Just took the whole thing. It was like this. It's like, where did that come from? It was like I was blindsided, swooped in, left me with the cone, but took all the ice cream. I'd only just started it.
Bastards.
I was thinking back to the woman in the shop, and she did warn me against seagull attacks. And I just ignored her. I thought, what does she know?
Yeah, what does she know? They're working there every day.
So, yeah, the benefits of local knowledge and the drawbacks of tourist ignorance.
Jeez. Now, did you eat the rest of the corn or did you just throw it away?
It went in the bin, Kenny. You know, I was thinking of calling the police, you know, victim of a crime, you know, using some, you know, pun about its daylight robbery.
SRI, seagull-related incident.
So that really did happen. I mean, I've heard of things like that happening, and I just thought it was just something people made up for humor.
You never think it's going to happen to you. You never think you're going to be the victim.
Kenny, you never think it's going to happen to you, do you?
You do not. You do not. But I do want to, before we start, I do want to plug Patreon a little bit, because you have a two-part interview up there with Jim Ross, which is very interesting. If you can tease the listeners a little bit of what you go into with Jim.
Yeah, we spoke for about 50 minutes. We talked about all sorts. We talked about his tour, which has obviously happened now. Only a little bit about the tour. We talked about Vader. We talked about Roman Reigns. Quite a lot on Roman Reigns. You were entertained by that discourse about Roman Reigns, weren't you, Kenny?
Yeah, I was saying to you off air, I very rarely see tension in a written interview so much, but it was there. And it was good because he was trying to kind of fluff the answer a little bit and you didn't let him, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Oh yes, that's right, yeah, he wasn't getting off the hook.
No, you were not letting him go.
So we talked a bit about Jack Briscoe and Steve Austin, and so I thought some really good stuff in there about Vince McMahon and just about his ambitions in wrestling, and he's still got lots of things that he wants to do. I think people will enjoy it. I mean, I really enjoyed doing the interview, really enjoyed writing it up, and yeah, please check it out.
There we go. Now, a bit of sad news happened while you were away, and that was the death of Matt Capitelli, who died at 38 years old, you know, famously on Tough Enough Season 3, where he won it along with John Hennigan, who went on to become John Morrison. And I just wonder, did you watch that series of Tough Enough? Do you have any memories of... Because a lot of people say that he was... People thought he was going to go on to big things. And obviously, he had the brain cancer initially, not long after he started, so he had to kind of give it up. And he was in remission for a long time, but it came back. Do you have any memories of him? Do you think was he someone who was destined to be quite a big name in wrestling if he'd had the chance?
It's always difficult to say, isn't it? I mean, there's lots of people in wrestling you think this person's a can't miss, and then there's other people you think, oh, they're never going to make it. I mean, look at, you know, we were there when Braun Strowman went solo. We were writing him off as a contender. It's like, what's WWE thinking, taking him away from the Wyatt family? So it's often difficult to work out who's going to be a star and who's not going to be a star. I remember at the time that he did seem to have a lot of potential. I always felt that the beating that he received from Hardcore Holly really overshadowed that series of Tough Enough, and in many ways his career, because his career did not advance due to his illness. So it was really sad, you know, that a guy who had gone through, you know, to win Tough Enough, to get into the WWE or WWF system. Would it have been WWE by then? WWE system. Because back then it was far more difficult to get into the system than it is now. So it just seemed like the guy was on the verge of huge things, and it was a tremendous opportunity. And Tough Enough back then was a huge show, wasn't it? I mean, that was a must-see show because it was still a novel concept. As you say, it was season three that he won. Was it season three, Kenny? Did you just say?
Yeah, it was season three. Him and John Hennigan won that one.
That's right. So it was still huge at that point, Tough Enough. It's always hard to know how far someone's going to go. And his progress was unfortunately halted by the illness. Really sad that he's died so young. Sadly, my lasting memory of him is Hardcore Holly beating him up. So
it's funny. That's one of the things that really soured me on Hardcore Holly for good. I've never really felt the same about him since that. I noticed that, you know, he was kind of saying it wasn't personal to Matt Capitelli. It's more of a tough love thing.
Yeah.
And maybe if he'd... I think it's maybe like a victim of circumstance, because if he'd went on to have this great career, you maybe wouldn't think about it anymore. But because he didn't go on to have a great career, it feels a bit more nasty.
Yeah, it almost feels like it defined his career, didn't it, somehow? This one incident. And, you know, old-time wrestlers, you know, everyone knows that Hulk Hogan, he had his... For years, I always thought, because it's Hogan, that's got to be a fabricated story.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was training, his leg really was broken. So, you know, when he was in training, was it Hero Matsuda did it?
I think it was, yeah. That rings a bell.
Yeah. But back in those days, in the 60s and 70s, when wrestlers were coming through, they would genuinely be, you know, it would be seen as an initiation test, or to see how much of a man they were. Could they take the beating? Were they tough enough? I mean, that's no doubt where the phrase came from for the series. Were they tough enough to be wrestlers? And that was those old school mentality that existed back then in the business, when kayfabe basically ruled the business with an iron hand, and all these terrible things used to go on with these people coming in and getting beaten up for real. I mean, it was just awful, the things that used to go on back then. The fact that that was still going on in the 2000s, there was no place for that to me. There's no place for that to me in wrestling today, and certainly wasn't back then. And to me, it was Hardcore Holly taking liberties. He was doing it because he could get away with it. And we saw how tough Hardcore Holly was in the Brawl for All tournament, didn't we? So it's like, you know, if you want to be a tough guy, go and do real fights. Don't beat up trainees. And yeah, likewise, I was soured totally on Hardcore Holly by that incident. Absolutely appalling, inexcusable. And there is no way to justify that behavior then or now. I was going to be doing an interview with Hardcore Holly earlier this decade for Power Slam. It didn't happen for various reasons. I wrote about that, I think, in the second book, and it was the Power Slam Interviews Volume 1. I wrote about the story about why the interview didn't happen. I had quite a few questions lined up for Hardcore Holly regarding that particular incident, Kenny. And I'm sort of now feeling like I wish I'd done that interview, because I would have loved to ask him those questions. I really would have loved it. So anyway, it didn't happen. But
can you imagine the tension in Jim Ross? Can you imagine the tension in that interview had you been asking those questions? It would have been great.
There would have been tension, Kenny. Yeah, there would have been. But anyway, it didn't happen. The interview didn't happen. And no great loss. Who was Hardcore Holly anyway?
I know. Well, yeah, there you go. I remember Hardcore Holly had that one main event run with Brock Lesnar. And it was like, oof, this was not good.
No, I didn't. I think, didn't Lesnar like drop him on his head or something? Suffered like a devastating neck injury or something.
Yeah, so they had the initial match where he had the injury, and then when he came back, they did the WWE title match at the 2004 Royal Rumble, where Hardcore Holly got the title shot, and it was like, you know, he just wasn't a main eventer, you know.
No, he absolutely wasn't. Only in his mind. That's the only place he was a main eventer. In no one else's mind.
So I think I was thinking the best way for us to maybe cover Raw and SmackDown is to do it in a unique way, because instead of going through two episodes of Raw, who wants to do that, Finn? Is instead let's look at some of what's going to be coming up at Extreme Rules and how it's been built on Raw and SmackDown. So on Raw, obviously the big match for Raw is Roman Reigns against Bobby Lashley, or as Roman Reigns calls him, Bob. So last week,
intimidating name, isn't it?
Well, I was saying to David on the Raw Rundown, have you ever seen the movie What About Bob with Bill Murray?
No.
And it's a movie, it's like a 1988 movie with Bill Murray and Richard Dreyfuss. And Richard Dreyfuss is this therapist, and he's like very, very good. And basically Bill Murray's so terrible as a patient because he just stalks his therapists that he gets sent to Richard Dreyfuss, who's supposed to be the best one. And Bill Murray's called Bob, and it moves into like Richard Dreyfuss trying to like get away from him, and then Bob follows him everywhere, follows him to like his holiday home and all this sort of stuff, and it's called What About Bob. So that is what it reminds me of when Roman Reigns consistently calls Bobby Lashley Bob. So last week on Raw we had Roman Reigns explaining that Bobby Lashley had a failed MMA career, even though he didn't, and that he was never the man before, and he can't be now. And then Bobby Lashley walked out on him in a tag team match with The Revival, where Roman Reigns took a clean pinfall. And then it was furthered again this week when we had them facing The Revival again, more dissension. How are you feeling about Roman Reigns versus Bob and the build-up?
Well, it's sort of been downgraded, hasn't it? Because originally... and they didn't talk about this at all on this week's Raw. Originally, this was supposed to lead to a match with Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam, wasn't it?
Yeah, initially, that was the plan.
Yeah, and they didn't mention that at all this week on Raw, so I'm assuming that that's either not been confirmed or it's off the table. I'm not really sure where we're up to on that one. So originally, it did seem like the match had a purpose, in that it was going to determine Brock Lesnar's opponent at SummerSlam. And that was very much the theme of the promo between the segment between the two on the June 25th Raw. And it was just like a strange promo where I thought Reigns really did project a lot of intensity on the June 25th Raw. You know, when he really cut the promo on Lesnar. And I thought there are times when Reigns takes a lot of, he takes a lot of flack for his promos, and often they are really lackadaisical and uninspired. But when he really wants to turn it up, I think he can cut a pretty good promo. And I thought parts of the June 25th segment with Lashley, an angle as well, I thought Reigns really came across, he projected a lot of fire. But then when Bob came out, it just sort of became this sort of they were just like this bitch session where they were just trashing each other, and instead of building each other up or making each other out to be huge stars or anything, they just seemed to be just running each other down. So, and also both of them were acting quite heelish as well, which continued on this week's Raw. So the fans do seem like they are into the idea of these two wrestling, but I just think that the promos so far haven't really done a whole lot to promote either man. That's my take on it so far. Kenny, what do you think?
For me, what I don't understand is, so the Bobby Lashley thing is kind of easy to promote. Like, he went to MMA, he was a big success. I think his record's like 15-3 or something, or 15-2. He's done pretty well. And instead, they're making it like he's been a failure over there. Which to me, would you not, I mean, am I missing something, or would you not rather build him up than build him down?
Well, maybe they think, well, we've got Ronda Rousey and we don't want it encroaching upon her MMA brilliance. So it is a bit of a strange one, but you're right. Yeah. Shouldn't this be used to build him up and to make him into more of a threat? And presumably if Lashley and Lesnar ever do meet, then that will be a big part of the promotion. But you're right. Don't downplay that now. Don't rubbish Lashley's MMA background now. You should be really praising him for it and really extolling his win-loss record. It's something they're not really talking about. Mm-hmm. You're right. And then Reigns was saying, well, Lashley couldn't cut it here, so he quit 10 years ago. And obviously not going to go into the real reasons why he quit 10 years ago, because they're too long and complicated, and they're not really going to do anything to promote Lashley or WWE either. So it's... it's a strange way of promoting it. And then later on the show, Lashley and Reigns teamed up to face the Revival, who are a team that they've done so little with that when they're not on Raw, you don't even notice that they're not on the show. And then shockingly, Roman Reigns was pinned. So that was like came from out of nowhere. But really, the emphasis was not on the Revival's victory over Reigns, it was on the breakdown of the Lashley and Reigns relationship. So the Revival didn't really get much out of the victory either. So it was a bit of a fail all round, I felt.
Yeah, it should be the easiest thing in the world. Lashley is an MMA guy who's been a big success. He thinks he can beat Lesnar. Roman Reigns thinks that he's got a chance to beat him. They face off, the winner faces Lesnar. But
Lashley's saying, Lesnar, he doesn't rate you, Roman, and he wants a legit challenger. So it's like, hold on a minute, we were trying to suspend our disbelief here. So what, Roman Reigns has got to go into MMA and win a bunch of fights in order to have a match with Brock Lesnar? I thought that was another strange aspect of the promo. I mean, obviously, this is all scripted out and edited and revised and presumably thought through. But at times you think, are they just making this up on the fly?
I know.
Are they just ad-libbing this? Are they just saying whatever the hell they want? And at times you think, well, maybe it would be better if he did. I don't really get it at all. So does Reigns need to win MMA fights in order to be qualified to wrestle Lesnar again? Well, no, of course he doesn't, because this is pro wrestling. I just thought it was a bit of a muddled mess, really, Kenny.
Yeah, it's not firing all cylinders, but that seems to be the main event for Extreme Rules.
It does, and apparently, will the winner face Lesnar at SummerSlam? We don't know. Maybe we'll get some clarification next week on the Go Home Raw, but who knows?
Maybe. And also, Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax will be facing off at the pay-per-view. And this week we found out that Ronda Rousey is going to be front row for the match. Are you interested in the Alexa Bliss Nia Jax programme? Does Ronda being front row make it any more exciting?
I think it does, yeah. I mean, I don't think many people are that interested in an Alexa Bliss versus Nia Jax match, because we've already done that. They've already done that feud. And it ended up being a big disappointment, I felt. So no one really wants to revisit this, I don't think. I mean, it's fairly obvious what the finish is going to be. Ronda's going to get involved. There'll be a DQ, possibly even a triple threat match at SummerSlam between Nia, Alexa Bliss and Ronda. That could be the outcome, to get all three involved. And that very well may be the outcome, because it might be difficult for people to believe that Alexa can defeat Ronda. But in a triple threat scenario with Nia Jax involved, she then has a chance of winning. So maybe it would be more interesting if there's three of them involved in the match at SummerSlam. But yeah, I'm definitely interested in seeing Ronda at ringside for the match at Extreme Rules on July 15th. I think that's been a huge boost to the match. I mean, it was a match, let's face it. We've already seen the match. We don't I mean, who really wants to see Nia Jax and Alexa Bliss battle again? Do you, Kenny? Really?
No, not really. I had enough of it the two times that it was there. I'm good. So,
do you think the Ronda thing can enhance it or will enhance it?
I think the Ronda being front row makes it more interesting. And I'm with you. I think it's going to be a triple threat match at SummerSlam. I quite like the Ronda and Alexa dynamic. I'm curious how that's going to translate when they actually wrestle, because I don't know if you really buy that Alexa could do much to Ronda, but maybe they'll find a way to do it. They've booked Ronda really well so far, I think. So,
I think she's definitely really clicking now. I think she's worked out what she's supposed to be doing out there. And it's obviously she's still new to this, so you've got to give her time. And she was, let's face it, thrust into a real high pressure situation. I know she's done it before in fighting, but she hasn't done it before in pro wrestling. So that's very different. And she doesn't want to go out there and make a fool of herself. So, I mean, we know some of her segments and her commentary and her promos have been a bit rough. But in the ring, everything physical that she's done has been tip top so far. And I'm sure that will continue at Extreme Rules and then at SummerSlam.
And then also on Raw, we've got Finn Balor and Baron Corbin, the Constable. They've kind of got something going on. Are you enjoying Constable Corbin more than you enjoyed Baron Corbin?
I still can't take it seriously, Kenny. He's out there in his Gareth Southgate waistcoat.
Oh, that's a good ref. That's a current reference right there, isn't it?
Hey, I watched the England. You know, I'm not a football fan, but I watched the England Colombia game this week.
Did you enjoy it?
So, yeah, I did. I really got into it, and I'm glad that we're recording this podcast today because I'm going to be watching England Sweden later today. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. And, I'm annoyed because I've booked theatre tickets for this afternoon for me, and my mum, and a couple of friends, and it's like 2:30. I'm so annoyed because I'd much rather watch the football, but you know, But it's funny to me because, you know, there's a lot of people from Scotland who are like, oh, England, get on a bit, it's coming home. And it's like, if Scotland were in the quarterfinal, we'd be singing Flower of Scotland till we go to sleep. Do you know what I mean? Fuck off, let people enjoy themselves. Jesus Christ. Anyway, but you know, it should be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Hold on a minute. I watched that video of yours this week for the Hooked on Wrestling events with Jeff Jarrett. And there's some footage of you there watching Colombia versus England. And you're cheering on Colombia, Kenny.
Listen, I might have cheered Colombia at one point, but by the end of the game, I came round to England in the end. But
they were the villains, weren't they, Colombia?
They were dirty bastards, weren't they? They were. And can you believe that all those times I thought somebody else was calling me, it really was Jeff Jarrett?
Amazing that the camera was there each time he rang, wasn't it?
Well, you know, I do have a personal camera crew following me at all times. So it's just, you know, mainly for Total Macintosh whenever it comes out.
Fair enough. It's just like an episode of Love Island, isn't it, really, your life?
That's the biggest insult you've ever given me, Finn.
But Colombia, it was like watching Shawn Michaels versus Hulk Hogan at SummerSlam 2005 with all that overselling and falling down.
Amazing.
I couldn't believe
amazing.
It.
That's, yeah. I think you'll get a cleaner game with England and Sweden.
I think so.
I heard one of my favourite quotes yesterday was, think of the amount of IKEA furniture that's going to be broken in people's homes if Sweden go through.
Exactly, yeah.
So
you asked me about Constable Baron Corbin.
And you can't take him seriously to the point where we veered off and talked about football.
Well, that's it. And that's for me as well. You know, last time I cared about football was World Cup 1990. So.
There you go.
I can't really take him seriously. I find this feud with Finn Balor to be a real filler feud right now for both of them. I guess it gives them something to do. But I mean, we've talked about it before. I just want to see the Finn Balor heel turn. This babyface, smiling babyface character will take him no further, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's at the ceiling he's going to be at with the smiling thing. I think he could be a really good heel.
I think so as well. I mean, maybe he could be, you know, maybe he could join Baron Corbin and he could be, you know, Deputy Constable Finn Balor.
I mean, I don't really know what to say to that. I'm kind of speechless.
Let's just move on.
It's funny though, because
best to move on.
There's a lot of people on Raw specifically who really need to be turned. You know, so like Elias should be a babyface, Finn Balor should be a heel, Bobby Roode, who's now been relegated to main event.
Oh, was he? Well, it was inevitable, wasn't it, really, Kenny? You know what I mean? At least, I don't watch that program, so, you know, I'm not complaining.
Also, I think we've got the Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt against the B-team thing going on, which isn't really that exciting, but here's hoping that Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt are going to retain their titles at Extreme Rules.
Yeah, Curtis Axel pinned Matt in 54 seconds on the June 25th Raw, and then afterwards, Matt and Bray applauded Curtis. Curtis won again, didn't he, on this week's Raw?
He did, which is the first time he's won two singles matches on Raw in 5 years.
Wow. Yeah, and Bray wasn't there, apparently. He was in a car accident on Friday.
So he was on his way to the house show. So there's a few injuries, actually, on Raw. Bray Wyatt's injured, but she'll be back for the pay-per-view. Ruby Riott's injured. She should be back in a few weeks. And I think Lars Sullivan on NXT, he's got a broken jaw.
Didn't Nakamura, he missed an episode of SmackDown, didn't he? Didn't he get bitten by a dog? Was that the story I read?
Yes, well, see, he's missed two episodes of SmackDown now. So he was going to be facing Jeff Hardy in an open challenge on the June 26th SmackDown. And the police were doing a search of the arena, and they had a sniffer dog, and the sniffer dog accidentally bit Nakamura. So he's been... I think something to do with what that kind of bite means, you can't wrestle.
I mean, it must have been pretty bad. I mean, I've been bitten by dogs in the past, and you're all right. I mean, it must have been a hell of a bite. You know, to miss a match, you know?
There you go. But he's going to be back for the pay-per-view. So, and then the other match on Raw is the Seth Rollins and Dolph Ziggler 30-minute Iron Man match, the Intercontinental Championship. Seth Rollins and Dolph Ziggler is actually a really fun feud, and I wasn't expecting it to be.
I absolutely agree, and I feel like both Dolph and Drew McIntyre have really been hoisted up. I think they've both been elevated by this association with Rollins and Roman Reigns. Really enjoyed the tag match on this week's Raw. Thought it was very well put together. Wasn't even really that bothered that it went to a non-finish, went to a DQ finish when, I think, did the Revival run in? I think they did, didn't they? Mm-hmm. Revival run in. So, yeah, I thought that was a hell of a match. Thought it was really well put together. And I thought all four just, it looks so effortless. You know, you can tell all four of these guys in ring are just, you know, top level, you know, elite players. And there's all these little things, like with Rollins going over to make the tag, and then Drew's on the outside, and just in one fluid motion, he pulled Reigns off the ring apron so he couldn't make the tag. It was all just so smoothly done, so expertly done. So I really enjoyed that tag match. And I'm looking forward to this 30-minute Ironman match between Rollins and Ziggler at Extreme Rules. You know, it's kind of a shame that Elias is not in this position because he had such a good showing at the last event. And I think that would have been a huge moment for him had he won the IC title. And obviously he's got no role right now, but maybe... I think they're big fans of him. I think WWE truly do believe that he can be a big player in this company. So maybe his time will come in a couple of months. So, I'm sure it's not over for Elias.
And then when we go over to SmackDown, obviously the big news from last week on the June 26th episode was the Bludgeon Brothers were beating the hell out of Daniel Bryan. And who comes to make the save but the mayor candidate of Knoxville County, Kane, who returns. What did you think of Kane's return? It was quite out of the blue, quite unexpected, and did you like it?
Well, there's two ways of looking at it. I mean, I was thinking, oh, you know, the Bludgeon Brothers are beating down Bryan. What bright young talent is going to run in to save Bryan? You know, whose career could receive a huge leg up from this, a huge boost from this? Oh, it's Kane! But, I mean, it's not like WWE has even really prepared anyone to step into the role that Kane's now in. So on one hand, you think, well, it would be terrific if somebody in his 20s or early 30s were to get this gig, because being associated with Bryan's going to be huge. They could potentially win the tag title, so that would be huge for their career. But WWE hasn't really elevated anyone into that position. The only person I could kind of think of who could have been in that role would be Samoa Joe. And he could have done a babyface turn, or he could have done a, you know, he could have done played like a tweener role and teamed with Bryan. So that would have been at least something new in WWE. So I think I would have preferred to have seen that, because it would have been something different. And Samoa Joe's a guy who's disappeared as well, right, Kenny? I mean, he's not doing anything right now.
No. Samoa Joe has been MIA, so I don't know what he's doing.
So I think I would have preferred to see Samoa Joe in that role. But instead, they went for the old favourite, who's got an election coming up, of course. And it, you know, it's a nostalgia thing, watching Kane and Bryan do this act. And I think for a few weeks, Kenny, it can be entertaining. I think it can be fun. I don't think it's what the fun has worn off quite yet. I mean, there was perhaps moments on this week's SmackDown where I thought, you know what, we've been here before, it's been done better. You know, it's a nostalgia thing. You should really be building for the future. But these two are so good together that, you know, I'm still enjoying it. So as long as it's a short-term arrangement, which I'm sure it will be, I'm all right with it. What do you think, Kenny?
I actually really enjoyed it, because Sandra had actually messaged me, because usually I don't get to avoid the spoilers. They're always there. And I said, you know, have you watched SmackDown yet? I said, no, I've not, because I was on tour, obviously. And I said, but I've got it downloaded for the train, because we were getting the train from Newcastle to Birmingham. She said, right, don't read any spoilers. Something really fun happens on the show. And I was okay. And I kind of figured out that it's going to be something in the main event. It's going to be something with Bryan. And then in my head I was going, well, who could save Bryan? I couldn't really think of anybody. And then Kane came out. Like, you're right. You know, by all accounts, it should be somebody young and somebody up and coming and all that. But when it was Kane, I was just kind of happy, because I just really enjoyed Team Hell No. And when he came out and they did the whole hug thing, I just really enjoyed it. And I thought the stuff they did on this week's SmackDown was excellent. It was really funny. The comedy was very good. You know, I love the stuff where Kane, you know, Daniel Bryan said, you know, you tried to abduct my wife. And he's like, I mean, I tried. You know, I didn't, actually. And they're backstage and he's saying, you know, Daniel Bryan's listening to all the shit that he did to him. And then Kane's like, I'm sorry. And he's like, what for what one? For everything. And he's like, you're like a brother to me. He's like, you set your own brother on fire. And it's so bonkers that it's funny.
Yeah, definitely.
And I thought that I really liked the Usos Team Hell No match as well. Really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I thought that was well done. Yeah, I mean, they got good chemistry and you get those warm, fuzzy feelings, don't you? It's like, you know, they've still never given you that Hulk Hogan comeback yet, have they, Kenny?
No, they've never
given you the Hulk Hogan return. So this will just like, this is a substitute until they can sort things out with Hulk and bring him back.
I mean, I don't know if the Hulk Hogan response generally is going to be as good as I would give him. You know, like, because I remember when he came back in 2014 and the reaction wasn't anywhere near what I thought it was going to be. I mean, I still lost my shit, but, you know.
That's all that matters. It's all about you, Kenny. Never mind all those other people.
I'm glad that you finally are coming round to my way of thinking. but no, I think if the Team Hell No thing's a short-term thing for a couple of months, I don't mind. I'm okay with it. They're going to face the Bludgeon Brothers at the pay-per-view. Interestingly enough, Daniel Bryan has still not signed his new contract. So,
right.
You know, his contract's due in September. Do you think he's going to re-sign?
Absolutely. Of course he's going to.
There you go. I thought it was going to be a longer conversation.
He's got to, because why wouldn't he? I mean, he's got a great gig. His wife's got the Total Bellas gig. If he leaves, could it affect that? You know, they're making great money out of that. It means that they don't have to do the wrestling thing anymore. They've got this great reality TV life thing going on and series, and they're all making money out of that. Bryan's on a good number right now with WWE. You know, he's just doing what he wants to do. You can see he's now almost, he's basically in a legend role, so he's a veteran now. So, I mean, he's not going to be dealing with too many political problems, I wouldn't have thought. And I think they will have something big planned for him at Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. And when the time comes to start talking money, I'm sure that'll be wheeled out. But I'm absolutely confident. I'm certain even, Kenny, that he'll re-sign, because why would he go back to the indie circuit? You know, what's he going to do out there? He's not going to go to New Japan. He's not going to put himself through that. And okay, there's these big shows now and again on the indie circuit. Obviously, we know about the All In show and things like that. But there aren't that many huge independent shows. And why would he leave the environment that he's in now, where he's comfortable, he's doing what he wants? to go to the unknown and take risks and deal with a lot of problems that he doesn't have to deal with in WWE. I can't think of a reason why he would leave.
Now,
what do you think?
I don't know if it's clear-cut.
What do you think, Kenny? Do you think he's leaving?
I don't think it's clear-cut that he's staying. I don't know why. I just get the feeling that, like, because I don't think he's hugely motivated by money. And I think that I think it's probably likely that he will stay, but I wouldn't say it's impossible that he's going to go, because I think there's a lot of other things he'd like to do. I think he'd like to go to New Japan. He'd like to go to, you know, Mexico, and there's a lot of other stuff he'd like to do, and he would make pretty good money. I guess it just depends, because I know that it was reported in The Observer that he's looking to do 50 to 100 dates a year. So, and I think they'll give that. They do not want to lose him.
No, absolutely not. And when the time comes, he's doing the Lesnar thing. He's keeping his options open. He's saying, well, I want to do other things. I want to do this. I want to do that. And like, WWE doesn't overpay its talent unless it has to. So it's like, Brian's aware of how much money they're going to be getting next year from these new TV deals and all the other money in general. And why shouldn't he be paid more? You're right. For years, he's not been motivated by money. But when you see how much money's coming in, you know, you want a piece of the action. So, and if he's valuable to the company, which we know he is, and he knows he is, and the company knows he is, then why shouldn't he hold out for more? And it's not about being obnoxious. It's not about being, you know, a money grabber. It's just about understanding your value and being paid fairly. And if you're in a position like Brian, you should exercise your strength at the negotiating table to get a deal that's good for you. Why not?
There you go. So, so we'll see what happens. But the Team Hell No thing should be fun for a month or two.
Yes.
We've also got Carmella and Asuka again for the SmackDown Women's Championship Extreme Rules. We've got the Asuka Ellsworth thing going on SmackDown. It's not really clicking for me.
On the June 26th SmackDown, Ellsworth said, "I have a love life so hot you could fry an egg on it."
I'm sure he does. Look at him.
So, I mean, the only good thing I can say about it is these, you know, Ellsworth versus Asuka match on this week's SmackDown meant that we didn't have to watch Carmella in the ring. You know, I mean, that's the only good thing I can say about it. You know, the only good thing I can say about Carmella as a wrestler is she's given me a new appreciation for Liv Morgan.
I mean, that's a burn if I've ever heard one in my life.
Actually, Liv not this week's Raw, the one before, she did this incredible running Hurricane Rana on, I think it was Ember Moon at ringside. And I thought, wow, I've never seen her do anything like that before. I think Liv Morgan, to her credit, is improving. When she first arrived, you're like thinking, oh no, what's going to go wrong here? But she now does seem a lot more confident, and I think she's doing a lot better. But yeah, she's definitely a hell of a lot better than Carmella. But there again, who isn't?
So very true. I mean, Carmella. I mean, yeah. I'm not gonna say anything else. But yeah, I mean, you would think that Asuka's gonna win the championship at Extreme Rules, but I mean, can you imagine if she beats her again? Oh God.
I mean, it was like Ellsworth versus Asuka on this week's SmackDown was like a pure comedy match. I mean, it was just not a good comedy match either. Ellsworth ran away, Asuka gave chase, then they returned, and then Carmella laid Asuka out at ringside. And as I say, the only good thing about it was Carmella didn't wrestle. But I mean, this match, you know, Asuka at the beginning of the year was this like fearsome, you know, credible competitor who's undefeated. And now she's doing these clown show matches with Ellsworth. I mean, next week we've got a lumberjack match between them. No doubt she's going to win that. But I mean, I don't really see what this is going to do for Asuka. And as you say, Extreme Rules, July 15th, if Asuka doesn't beat Carmella, what's next for her? And she doesn't really feel to me like a title contender right now, but maybe she wins the belt at Extreme Rules. And then she can face Charlotte and Becky Lynch and all these other people. The women's division on SmackDown, it just kind of feels like it's on hold right now because, you know, we've got Carmella as champion.
Yep, it's a sad time, but hopefully at Extreme Rules, faith is restored. We've also got Jeff Hardy, Shinsuke Nakamura for the US title at the pay-per-view, which we kind of touched on earlier with Nakamura's injury. And then Rusev facing AJ Styles, where Rusev is being positioned as the foreign menace, and AJ Styles is the bumbling, boring babyface. Man, this title reign, it's been so rubbish.
I was just put here. AJ Styles versus Aiden English, boring match. That is what I've written on my notes. It's just like Styles beat Aiden English with a calf crusher. I mean, I just found the match tedious. And then Rusev inevitably attacked Styles afterwards. I mean, Rusev's now not in that, you know, he's not really playing for laughs anymore. He's not doing the tweener babyface thing. So he's now sort of in the heel role, but it's not really pronounced heeldom. And Styles just feels like he's treading water. Yeah, it's just, I mean, this is just another filler thing for Styles. I mean, I'm not sure what they've got lined up for him at SummerSlam. I mean, probably they're going to bring Cena back or something and pit Cena against Styles, because they haven't got anyone else ready to face Styles at SummerSlam, unless it's Samoa Joe.
At this point, give the belt to Joe, give the belt to Cena, and just move it on, because it's just dying a death just now.
It is. I mean, I've got another match on this week's SmackDown that I found really disappointing, was Jeff Hardy versus The Miz. And, you know, Hardy won fairly easily with the Swanton. And The Miz, you know, a few months back in January time, when he was having those matches with Roman Reigns, Miz felt like something special. Now he just feels like just another guy, like an also-ran. So, I mean, Miz has just dropped off a cliff. I mean, who would have ever imagined, Kenny, that the breakup of the Miztourage would be good for Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas and bad for the Miz? Who could have predicted that?
It's a baffling, baffling time to be alive.
It certainly is. I think Coach on this week's Raw, I think he said that Coach said that the B team had more momentum than any other act in WWE. Another Coach classic.
Oh, he's so full of shit, isn't he? Oh, God. He's so bad. Like, there was one point, was it, what week was it? I think we were talking about it a couple of weeks ago when, you know, there was the whole, Kurt Angle was going to make the multi-man match for the pay-per-view, and then and then later on, yeah, the multi-man match was made for the pay-per-view, and then Coach was like, I hear there's people lining up at Kurt Angle's door. Well, how? He's not got there yet. Like, nothing's happened. And then later on, Finn Balor's lined up to talk to him. He's like, told you.
Yeah, it's just words. You know, the words that he says don't really mean anything. You know, there's no substance to really anything Coach says. It's just all superficial waffle. You know, hopefully people don't think that about this podcast, Kenny.
I mean, sometimes we waffle, but I like to think it's entertaining waffle more than anything else.
Well, I hope so.
So, I mean, there's something I'm going to try and get you to watch for next week, because I really want your take on it. So, on this past week's Total Bellas, Nikki Bella and John Cena get back together. And in the scene where they get back together, John Cena agrees to have children with Nikki. And I think that you should watch that 10 minutes for next week. And just kind of, we can discuss how affectionate or romantic we think John was in his declaration to Nicole. So maybe next week I'll tell you the exact time on the episode.
Okay.
And you just need to watch that one bit.
All right.
Which involves the great line, Nicole, I will give you a child.
All right, I'm not going to say anything more at this moment.
Okay. So
Can I just mention that we were going to talk about this some weeks ago, and I must admit, I must confess, I didn't watch the entire episode, but I watched part of it, The Undercover Boss with Stephanie McMahon.
Oh, see, I've not watched it yet. Is it any good?
Well, I just had to turn it off after about 10 minutes. I mean, there was a great laugh.
What was her accent like?
Well, it was really funny because she went to see Vince and said, oh, yeah, I'm going to do a Southern accent. And Vince said, oh, you're really good at Southern accents. And I thought she was terrible. And there's a great line there from Stephanie. And she says, this is when she's before she's in character. And she says, sometimes when I meet people, they get nervous talking to me. With that sinister smile, is it any wonder?
I mean, I almost want to watch it, but I don't know if I should.
Well, she's playing Samantha Miles, who's trying to get back into the workforce as a journalist. Good luck on that one. So she's got a blonde wig on and fake nose and this unconvincing southern accent. And it's so obviously her. So I watched the first thing. I was like, how could anyone not realise that this is Stephanie McMahon? So maybe people later in the episode did work it out. I only watched about the first segment with a guy who was training to be a wrestler. It's just like, you know, I know it's reality TV, which means that it's not real. But it's just like, come on. You know, we need something. You know, we need to suspend our disbelief here. And to me, it was just not believable that anyone who was in any way connected with the wrestling business wouldn't know that it was her. Anyway, you watch a bit of it, Kenny, and see what, and we'll, you talk about that next week, and I'll talk about the John and Nikki moment next
saga,
week.
Saga, yeah, okay. Now, the one thing I wanted to touch on with WWE was, what did you make of the, because last week we saw Bayley turn on Sasha, she showed some aggression, some fire, and this week she was sent to counselling with Sasha.
Yeah.
What did you make of the comedy of that?
Well, I thought it was unexpected that Bayley would really come across almost like a heel. And I think she even swore on the air. They beeped it, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
So that came across as it's like, wow, you know, she's shown some backbone, which we've been wanting her to do for more than a year now. And so it was nice to see that side of Bayley where she was coming across as somebody that you can believe in and wasn't a pushover. I wasn't this lightweight, you know, wasn't this, you know, coward. She was somebody that, you know, let's face it, as a baby face, we've got to be able to believe in a baby face, that baby face is going to stand up for herself. You know, when the heat's coming down, you know, when people are pushing her around, you know, basically whenever, I mean, that's kind of, in a sense, that's kind of pointless after, because we live in the post-Stephanie McMahon era where she's pushed all the women around and none of them stand up to her, apart from Ronda Rousey, of course. So she's kind of carrying around, she's tarnished by that. But that to me was a moment where it seemed to me like they were trying to rebuild Bayley into an act that's got some gumption, you know, has got some fire, you know, has got some spirit. So I really enjoyed that segment, even though she sort of was the heel. She didn't get booed for doing it. And I think a lot of people in the crowd felt the same way as me. What did you think of it, Kenny?
I thought it was shite.
You let me say all that?
Yeah, yeah.
Came back with that.
Well, no, because I thought the thing last week with her getting some fire and getting some attitude was really good. And then, like...
That's what I'm talking about. Oh, I haven't got to this week's bit yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, I know. I did really like... I thought that was really good. I really enjoyed that. I thought that she... for the first time in months, felt kind of relevant again.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, so then Kurt Angle wants to send her to therapy. And then this week, Kevin Owens is trying to get out of facing Braun Strowman. And he says, here we settle things in the ring, as Bayley and Sasha have been sent to counselling.
Well, at least Owens did bring it up. He said Braun Strowman should be sent to counselling. So at least he did bring that up and he did acknowledge the double standard, you know?
Yeah, he did. And to be fair, I did love Kevin Owens when he tried to offer Kurt Angle Shania Twain tickets in response to not having to face Braun Strowman.
That was funny. You know, Kurt should have done a little moment where he goes, well, that's tempting. That's really tempting, Kevin. And then like, but no, that would have been a great little thing. I think he could have done that really well. Because I think Kurt, when it comes to natural comedy, is really good at it. When everything's all scripted for him, it's not smooth. I think Kurt's really good at comedy when they can just let him get on with it. So yeah, I think that I enjoyed that as well. I think it could have been better, but I enjoyed it. I guess Kurt's playing the serious GM, you know, he's supposed to be the guy in charge and he's not a comedy figure. So I guess that's the reason why they did what they did. But you're right, yeah. So Kevin Owens brought it up. Well, you should send Braun Strowman to counselling. And Kurt's like, well, we settle things in the ring. It's like, yeah. Well, at least they acknowledge the double standard. It is pro wrestling. You know, they're allowed to do double standards in pro wrestling, Kenny. If they acknowledge them.
So then I've got to ask, what did you make of the return of Dr. Shelby and the counselling?
Well, there was Bayley there. And it got off to a bad start when they had lift music playing. You're thinking, oh, no, not lift music. That's when you know you're in trouble, when WWE adds lift music, elevator music, to any type of segment. So I knew we were in trouble from the off. So then Bailey's there, then Sasha turns up and they go into counselling together. Then Dr. Shelby turned up. And I've got to say, it's quite funny. I think they were expecting a huge pop when Dr. Shelby arrived, but I think a lot of people didn't recognise him. So I thought that was quite funny. You
know? He did pop for himself, though, which was good.
Well, he did too, yeah.
The thing was, when they were doing the segment, right, I'm sitting watching it, and Sasha tries to do a Bailey impression, which is okay, you know, passable. And then Bailey tries to be Sasha, and I just wanted the ground to swallow me.
Yeah.
I couldn't have, it was so bad.
It was. I mean, it was like little kids doing bad impressions of each other.
Like if you were watching wrestling and like, you know, your girlfriend walks in or your friend walks in, like the Kane and Daniel Bryan stuff is so bonkers, I think they'd laugh at it. Well, they'd be like, he tried to duck the guy's wife, or, you know, he tried to set his brother in fact, like, you would laugh at it. But if somebody came in and they watched Bailey try to be Sasha Banks, they just look at you and go, this?
Yeah, why are you watching this?
Time on.
Yeah, that's why I always watch wrestling alone, Kenny. After this many years, it's like, you know, I'm not taking any chances. Because you never know what they're going to wheel out. They might wheel out more crap like this. Yeah, it was garbage, Kenny. It was bad. And Dr. Shelby's there aghast and, like, you know, he's all, like, dishevelled and he's, like, all sweaty and he's like, oh, what am I going to do? I mean, what sort of therapist was he? What sort of counsellor was he? He couldn't handle anything. I mean, would you go to him for counselling, Kenny? I wouldn't.
No, not at all.
So, yeah, I thought it was... And then at the end, they're bickering at each other and it's just noise and it's just annoying and... Yeah, nothing was settled, and I'm not really sure where it goes. I mean, hopefully in the ring, and they can just have the match. Someone can win, someone can lose, and then they can move on. I mean, the problem I've got is that Sasha at one point was like, she was obviously in the main event of pay-per-view. She was in the main event of Raw, and she doesn't feel to me like she could ever go back there. I mean, maybe she could, but she seems really, like, damaged as a character right now. She just... doesn't feel like a star anymore because this feud has just gone. It's been interminable. It's just gone on forever. And I'm not sure where Bailey goes out of this because, I mean, her audience was little kids. So in a sense, it's like, well, what she's done is not something that little kids are going to cheer for. But in a sense, she kind of needs to do what she did on last week's SmackDown because she can't play the same character she's been playing for years because it's taken her nowhere. It's not good for her career longevity. So these two just need to have the match and just get it over with, and then they can move on to something else. I'm sure you would agree.
100%. But of course, next week the counselling continues. Oh. So there's more of it. Hurrah.
I don't know. I mean, maybe, I don't know.
Aren't you glad you came back from holiday, Finn, and we can get more of this riveting stuff? Fuck me.
Well, no, this week, because when I was away for a week, I didn't check my emails, didn't check my Twitter, my Facebook, didn't check a single wrestling news site, didn't watch any wrestling. So I'd had an entire week off with no knowledge of anything wrestling related. So when I came back, I really did enjoy watching Raw and SmackDown. So if you have a nice break from it, come back. That's what a holiday's supposed to do, isn't it?
Mm. That's supposed to be what it is. Well, I thought SmackDown was really good this week, so I will give it that. But we're gonna leave you now here in the main show. We're going to go over to the Overrun, talk a little bit about World of Sport, talk about Vader, and talk about issue 59 of Power Slam magazine. We'll see if Finn buries it as much as he did issue 58.
Yes.
But Finn, before we go, you're back from holiday. You spent all your holiday money. You need some money for Christmas or something. You've got books for people to buy. Where can they go and buy them?
Yeah, they can buy from Amazon, iBooks and Kobo. More information, go to my website at finleymartin.co.uk. You can follow me on Twitter at finleymartin or at PowerSlam Online. And where can people find you, Kenny?
You can find me at KennyMC1985 or at Inside_the_Ropes. Just announced a tour with Edge in September and October. Tickets are going fast. Got about 3/4 of the VIP tickets gone already in a day. So do go and check those out at InsideTheRopes.co.uk. And as announced by Hooked on Wrestling, Jeff Jarrett has asked me to host his Q&A tour later on this month, so I've said yes. So that's going to be interesting. Edinburgh, London, Sheffield and Cardiff. Now people can finally realise I do not have a vendetta against Wales, which people seem to think I do.
I just holidayed there. You know, I've just been there for a week. I think I was, you know, on a recon mission for you, wasn't I, Ken?
Don't rub it in. You make it worse for me. You spent a week in Wales. Listen, when I was younger, I went to Clonakilty. So, you know, I'm all Welsh. Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more. Take care. If I be tonight, if I'm sad tonight.